back to the show for another week. I'm Mark Becker, your host on the Rational Revolution here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, we have podcasts of the show and everything like that. So if you want to listen, download it, like us on Facebook, subscribe, do all of those things, share the episode, listen to it as many times as you want, because I would want to listen to this guy who's here for, and this is like, I'm so glad that he's here. Your friend and mine, returning guest, Ahmad Rivera-Wagner, representing Green Bay. You're in studio.
I know.
What's up, man?
I love being here. It's kind of fun.
I'm so happy to have you here, because like, you're someone that we were talking off the air about how much I respect the fact that he, you know, the motto here is it's not about what's left versus what's right. It's about what's right versus what's wrong.
That's right.
And
that's
you do
right.
that every single day. And I wish more people did. There's so much we could talk about.
Yeah.
How is it going?
One of the coolest things is representing the city of Green Bay. And I like to talk about that so much because people just forget this. Like, they forget that we're the third largest city in the state. There's this notion that it stops after Madison and Milwaukee. Yeah. And there's Green Bay. We obviously own a stadium and the biggest, smallest market for an NFL team. But we also have other things that are really incredible. Yeah. We are the most racially diverse state after Milwaukee. We're actually more racially diverse than Madison.
I didn't know that.
Obviously, my favorite data point is that we're the number one place to live in the country.
Yeah.
There really is something magical in Green Bay about what we believe, that we reward work here. That if you show up as a meat packer, or a paraprofessional, a professor, or a politician, you can plant your seed and grow. And that is something really beautiful and amazing about this community. And we do it in a way where we're building a Green Bay for everybody. Yeah. And I think that is a beautiful thing that I get to represent. So that's really fun. Madison is, Madison's not Green Bay.
Yeah.
I think sometimes the old tropes are true. I can see why people are frustrated and annoyed by politicians and politics. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes, before I got in this role, we often talked about Madison as the capital was a place where good ideas go to die. and so I understand that on a deeper way, but I am a person that believes in hope springs eternal, that we have to model the kind of behavior and policies and engagement that we think we should be seeing, and that we can't just succumb to the standard. We have to create a new standard. And to me, I'm not doing anything different than I would do just in the city of Green Bay, but I recognize that that is changing the way that we're doing things in Madison. And so even if I'm an anomaly for now, I'm okay with that. But, Madison is a cage fight that I was about things that we shouldn't be cage fighting about.
I think that Madison, at least for the last 15 years, for sure, that has been a place where good ideas have gone to die. And I feel like I was, because that's when, for those listening, that's when the redistricting happened.
Right.
And we went from a state that had representative democracy, which is a cool thing.
Right.
To a state that even if they vote blue, we still have a supermajority in red.
Right.
So, I do think that we are in the middle of the death rattle of that.
Yes.
The supermajority is gone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And, but what is completely, it blows my mind. One would think that if the Republicans would see, hey, the maps are changing.
Right.
And the winds of change are blowing. One would think that they would be like, hey, maybe we shouldn't be so extreme and crazy.
Yes.
It's not necessarily what has happened.
I think I've always said this, that politics in Wisconsin are catching up to where the community is already at, right? And that's more transparent, more so in Green Bay than any other place.
Yeah.
But the truth is that the community's already been there. We've already said that this extremism on elections and conspiracy theories, that the extremism on choice and all these other places, that most people want government to work.
Yeah.
They want it to work well. And then when they interact with it, they want it to do better.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that happens across the state, across boundaries, across political ideology. I know we're going to get into education, but that's another example where there's broad support, gun reform, broad support, getting politicians out of the way between a woman and her healthcare, broad support. These are things that are no longer on the edges of whether you vote red or blue.
Yeah.
They are things that majoritarian policies. And the thing is, the best governments are deeply reflective of that.
Yeah.
And right now, ours isn't. So to me, I get the gnashing of teeth that is coming with what you call the winds of change. But my argument would be, we already changed.
Yeah.
Politics just haven't caught up. And so we're trying to figure that out.
I do want to give you credit there. So if anyone has driven into Green Bay, I said I wasn't going to talk about this, but I at least want to give you a really tip of my Boston Red Sox cap that I'm wearing. If anyone in the state of Wisconsin has driven to Green Bay, they have seen some landmarks. We have, you know, Lambeau Field. We have a beautiful city hall. And we have coal piles that are occupying the most valuable piece of riverfront property that Green Bay has.
That's right.
For now. And I mean, that's been there since I've been alive. It's been there. There was a very famous photograph of someone skiing down the coal piles.
Yes.
So they've been a butt of jokes for generations. And because of a lot of hard work due to you.
Well, thank
you. I mean, you've brought people together and created a space where parts of government that have unnecessarily, but for a long time been at odds, stupidly so. You really helped bring that discussion forward with a very Trumpy organization, you know, in the coal guys.
Yeah.
And I from what I understand, we're on the precipice of an agreement.
So
I know there's a lot you can't talk about, but it looks like this is going to happen for the first time in 100 freaking years.
125 years.
Jesus, Lord.
Here's what I would say. I think the most powerful thing that I was able to do is just leverage the idea that people of Green Bay wanted their government and their elected officials to be more reflective of their needs and desires. Mm-hmm. And we heard overwhelmingly that they wanted us to figure something out to solve the coal pile challenge. And so to me, being dogged about ensuring that this is transparent, that it's reflective. Mm-hmm. I had the pleasure of leading the negotiations as the mayor's chief of staff, still involved as the state rep for Green Bay. And at the end of the day, the most powerful thing that happened was that the residents and everyday people, not who they voted for, not which supervisor, not what county executive, not what mayoral candidate, do you want to help us make a Green Bay that is more economically prosperous, and that we can build and expand on neighborhoods that need that investment by removing the coal piles. Yeah. And people said yes. And so we built this beautiful coalition inside and outside of City Hall, inside and outside of government, of people committed to working together across boundaries to focus on a solution. And to me, that is the beauty of what politics can be.
Yeah.
At its best, it is creating the coalition to win things for the everybody's.
Yeah.
And this is a win for the everybody. So I'm, you know, there will be a vote tonight. I'm encouraging every resident that would like to watch this historic vote, whether it's up or down, that they get to watch. I think this is an exciting opportunity. Yeah. And I'm just thankful to have been able to play a role. But the truth is, the thing should be going to the people of Green Bay and the residents of Brown County who refused to say that we could fail. And said that they expected more from their government, more from their elected officials. And that is the power that we can change all of our cultures by making sure that we're more focused on people than politics.
Yeah, and I think it goes, there's so much credit to people who, you know, can reach across the aisle without compromising who they are, without compromising the positions that you have, and say, hey, you know, this is the right thing to do. You support the wrong people nationally, whatever. But hey, you know what? This is something that we can agree on, that this is good.
Yeah.
And you're not afraid to do what's good,
right?
You know, regardless of political opinion. So.
And here's the thing.
It's a big deal, man.
I'm thankful. I always find it funny, and I know we talked about this earlier. I don't know what people assume, but you know, I never thought I'd be working alongside a 125-year-old company that serves coal, right? I wasn't sure that that was going to happen in my lifetime. And we may not, you know, I don't know all the political affiliations of all their staff, but I imagine that we may not align on a series of other issues. But what I will say that was really beautiful is by opening the door and creating space and welcoming people to solve a challenge, it's been a joy to work with Sea Rice. It's been a joy to work with the mayor of Green Bay. It's been a joy to get to solutions with the county board. But when you create that welcoming environment that we are willing to work with you, we're not going to let the biases or perceived prejudices stop us from actually collaborating. All of a sudden, it opens a door of possibility of getting things done, right? Now, we might someday have a fight about renewable energy. We might have someday a fight about whether the county board is responsive to everyone's needs in a different election. All those things get to still be true. Mm-hmm. And it also can be that we work together to solve 125-year-old problem and do it for the people of Green Bay. And I think that's really, really beautiful to do.
Yeah, I love that because, you know, when I was in the Republican Party, it was during the heyday of like the Tea Party and Ted Cruz, eye roll, insert, please. You know, and like, and it's this mindset of if you don't support me on everything,
yes,
we cannot do what's good. Right. In any sense.
Right.
And so that's such an old, archaic, yep, really horrible way to, number one, live your life, but it's a really horrible quality to have in someone that represents a very diverse community.
And here's the thing I like to tell people. I mean, I don't know what Democrats they're talking about that people think we all agree on everything. I mean, if you go to a Democratic meeting, you have more opinions than Democrats. Like, just to be very clear, I don't know where this alignment came from, but as a more clear view I viewed is that most people I talk to have very mixed political views. I'm not saying they're moderate, conservative, liberal. They might be great on guns and different on the environment. They might be great on the environment, but don't want to build affordable housing, right? There really is this assumption that people have lined up their strongly held beliefs based on the party system that we put on top of them. And the truth is people have a lot of mixed beliefs. And so I think, as we've talked about, and it's becoming the new mantra, it's not really right and left, it's right and wrong. And it's, are you pro-Green Bay, are you not pro-Green Bay? And when you create that compass, the coalitions look different, but they get a lot of things done.
Yeah.
And I think that is what I'm trying to do, is make government more reflective of that complexity, that you don't have to agree with me 100%, but we're going to do flood mitigation here, and we're going to build more affordable housing here. We're going to do economic development here. We're going to hold people accountable here. We're going to try to address homelessness here. And that coalition may not be the same people in every coalition, but the goal is that every one of those coalitions benefits everybody, and I think that's great.
We're talking with State Representative Ahmad Rivera-Wagner. We're going to talk on the other side of the break. We've got about a minute left. We're going to talk about the budget stuff. How do you, and leading into that, I do have a question about how you, and I think we can answer this now, but you represent Green Bay, but you're a state rep. So how do you balance, you know, doing the right thing for Green Bay, but also trying to do the right thing for the people of Wisconsin and Milwaukee and Madison and all of that? Because your vote affects all of those people.
Right. Well, to me, it's always turning the needs and desires of Green Bay. I recognize that Madison, Milwaukee, Oconto County, Eau Claire, guess what? People want more housing.
Mm-hmm.
They want government more expansive. Yeah. They want to expand Badger Care. These are, to be frank, every policy that I've been working on not only benefits Green Bay, and I've heard it from the Green Bay lens, there are similar people who are going to benefit from it in other places. And so I've made my centerpiece, yes, being deeply reflective of Green Bay, but finding other allies, regardless of political affiliation, like on childcare. I'll be introducing a bipartisan bill on childcare coming out that I'm very excited about. And that's because the answer is focus on people, not the politics.
That's beautiful. Yeah, we're going to talk about the budget that's coming up and some of the things that we can look for and we can support and opportunities for all of us to get involved. So keep on listening here on The Rational Revolution. We're going to get into budget stuff here with Ahmad Rivera-Wagner, representative from the 90th. See you in a little bit.